My name is Ariel. I moved to the US at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
You're listening to 100 Words or Less with Ray Harkins.
Greetings one, greetings all. Welcome to the podcast in which we talk to people who are involved in independent music, who care about it in a deep way, create it, document it, all of those things. And if this is your first time here, like just welcome, because I appreciate when new people check out the show. I love the whole, you know, Spotify Wrapped for podcasters. It gives you like the most inane and random information possible. But I did see a lot of interesting intel in regards to like, hey, this episode was really popular, bringing new people to the show. So anyways, just want to tell you, thank you for spending time with me. And our guest today is a special one because I have existed alongside of him, played shows with him, and never really got to like, you know, really bro down with him until today. Adam Lazara, the vocalist from Taking Back Sunday. You know Taking Back Sunday. I mean, if you don't, like, tell all your friends. I mean, come on. Like, a seminal record of many of our lives and listening experiences. And the band just released a pretty damn awesome new full-length called 152 or 152. Just came out a couple weeks ago. I highly encourage you to check it out. That is obviously why Adam appears on this podcast. But we had a great discussion because I find Taking Back Sunday so interesting as a band because they've obviously been able to ride the highest highs and, you know, get through the lowest lows of bands that, you know, might not have made it out of a particular scene. And they've been able to persevere and get to the spot where it's like, dude, now they're just, you know, they're coasting. They're doing really cool shows. They're doing what they want. And I love to see that. So, and then plus we geek out a lot about Lifetime because, you know, they're an amazing band, right? Let's talk about ways that you can support the show. For $0, this is going to cost you nothing. You can leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you wanted to, you can leave a rating on the Spotify page. All of those things help out the show immensely. The algorithms then work in our favor to recommend this stuff to other people. You know how that works, right? You can also email the show, 100wordspodcast@gmail.com. Love to hear guest suggestions, ideas, et cetera, et cetera. It's fun because people write in, they're like, hey, you should have this person on. And honestly, I'm just like, wow, actually, that's a really good idea. Let's go ahead and do that. And then they link me up. And that's honestly, I would say probably like maybe 3-5% of the guests that happen are through those random intros. But anyways, feel free to reach out. Always love to have that correspondence. And then, let's just go ahead and dive into the conversation. I was going to, you know, opine about how rad punk and hardcore is, like just got to go to a lot of shows recently and just experience the awesomeness of watching bands, you know, grow, find themselves, all that sort of stuff. But I'll put that aside for now. But let's talk to Adam from Taking Back Sunday. And this is a great one. So enjoy. I have a funny bone to pick with you, Adam. This is, I don't expect you.
Oh boy,
to,
here we go.
I know, it's a fun way to start it. So I don't expect you to remember this, but it's very, it was just a funny thing for me. So anyways, played, sang for a hardcore band called Taken. We played a show together. This was like, gosh,
I mean, maybe 2000. I don't know the exact year, but I was familiar with you because it was, gosh, I want to say it was like Thursday Unearthed. I don't know, in Long Island at like the Backyard Blues Club or
Backstreet Blues.
There we go. Backstreet Blues. Anyways.
Rockville Center.
Exactly. So we were on tour and I was excited to play with you guys because I had gotten keyed into you. Just someone had given me the demo and they were like, this awesome band from Long Island, listen to it. And I was like, oh, love this. So anyways, the joking bone to pick I have with you is, so I think we were supposed to play like, you know, either second or third or whatever. And trust me in saying that I know every band ever has pulled this where you're kind of the local band that's going to play the show. And, you know, maybe your guitarist doesn't get off work until later. You're supposed to play first, but then, you know, you go to the promoter and are like, oh dude, our guitarist can't get here. Cause like, he can't get off work until like, you know, seven or whatever. And so I remember being, I mean, of course I wasn't like actually bummed, like mad at you, but just the idea where I was like, we had to play first. And then, you know, you guys, a local band, had to play, you know, second or third because your guitarist, I don't know if it was Eddie or whoever, but anyways, the reason I bring that funny story.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Like I said.
Hey, I just want to say, I am sorry that happened. And then two, not on me. I was there, I bet.
Totally.
I'm always early.
Totally. Well, the reason I bring that up is not to, you know, poke fun at you, but just the idea that, like, you know, there are probably many respects in which you still approach playing shows or obviously existing as a band in the same ways as you did back then. Would you agree with that? And what sort of things do you think that you obviously carry through to this day?
Well, I think that, you know, because we came, so like, obviously we came from the same kind of scene, you know, like the hardcore scene. And for us, like, that's kind of like, in like a lot of ways, I feel like over the years, there's certain things there's times where we've had to be like, yo, this isn't how we do things. We're not going to do that. Like, just as far as from, which a couple of those things were just growing pains. Like, you know, like there's it's like you go from a situation to where it's just you guys in a van to like, now you're, you know, you have front of house and you have an LB and like, there's more people helping you out and traveling with you. But I like think for us, like kind of the main thing is that, realizing that a lot of like the goal was always to, I mean, you know, try to reach as many people as possible. And selfishly, there's this thing of, I fell in love with that scene because I felt like I found my people. I grew up in a small town in North Carolina called High Point, which is the furniture capital of the world, by the way. So they say. And then, and then so there wasn't like, you know, through high school and like things like that, like I didn't really, I didn't really feel like I was with my people. And then, sure. but when I discovered like, you know, these shows and like through this scene and like started going and participating in it, like it's, I found much more than just a bunch of records that I love. Like I found an actual community and like support system, you know, like found my people. So with all of that said, I think that we've always tried to operate just with that spirit in the forefront. Yep. To this thing of there's like, I feel like there's like a certain almost like unspoken code of ethics that we learned from coming up through the hardcore scene. And that's something that stayed very consistent with us. Even like, you know, like when we were younger and like getting away from ourselves and things like that, that was still always the place that we would that we would come back to. So, which really comes down to relationships and how you treat people and things like that. Like, that's something that's very important to us. Well, to me, it is.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, a lot of what you say resonates, I think, in people like, you know, myself and many of our peers, just watching a band like you guys, you know, grow and exist and still feel like, as strange as it sounds, where it's just like, I personally, and I know many others still feel of you guys as like, oh yeah, like, of course, like, you know, you guys could obviously play Hellfest 2002 or whatever. Like, you're still that band, even though you have obviously evolved and matured musically like bands should, but it's still, to your point, that connective tissue still exists.
Yeah, there's, and like, I think of it the same way, you know, like, I think if it was to be like entirely, I just think it would be impossible to entirely be removed from that, you know, because it's in our blood. I mean, like, that was, it was not only the community and all that, but a large part of our identity, mine. And so yeah, I mean, that's not, I don't think that could ever go anywhere or too far.
Yep, for sure. And kind of, you know, focusing on you as a person, I mean, I know I'm not going to hit all the biographical stuff. Obviously, I know, like you said, North Carolina, born in Alabama, all that sort of stuff. But what I wanted to hit on was, you mentioned, and I know you've spoken about this before in regards to, you know, having a stutter and obviously that being preventative from you.
Yeah.
Right. Like, preventing you from being like, maybe if you wanted to be an outgoing person, you obviously couldn't do that because of the lack of confidence that you know, happens. Did you go through speech therapy for that? Or was it just one of those things where you just kind of grew out of it?
Yeah, I did speech therapy all through school. I mean, you know, like grade school. And I remember, just that kids can be really fucking mean. And then, yeah, like, so I remember, you know, because there was a speech therapist at our school. And then so they would come by, like, you'd go like once or twice a week. Like, I think at first I was going like twice a week for like a year or two. And then it got to once a week. But anytime they would come to like pull you out of class, you know, to go to this thing. And then like, that's just another thing that, like, it's like ammunition for these idiots, you know, just little people. And I shouldn't have said people. It was just like ammunition for like the other kids, you know. So then it's like, so here we have like a chubby stuttering kid, and there was, in like a lot of ways, yeah, like, that was like, I would just kind of approach things with like like, you know, like, I always kind of had a wall up, and like, I believe that I still do. It's something I've been trying to break down for a long time. Obviously, the stuttering's gotten better over the years. But there was a time I couldn't even get through like a sentence without, or like, I would just go to introduce myself and I couldn't even get that out, you know? And so then, like, and like, I don't know if it's like, I think that was also kind of like fuel for whatever pent up rage is inside of me. Like, sure. So, but then at a certain point, I think, going back to kind of what we were talking about earlier, like, with like the hardcore scene, whatever, it's like, that became a big outlet too, because now I found a place to where, like, you know, 100% of the people aren't making fun of me all the time. And so like, I found like a group of folks, you know, that were like really patient with me, and through that helped me to like relax. And I think kind of, so maybe like with the converse or the combination of like speech therapy and like finding these people, you know, like really helped me to like figure out ways to maneuver around it. So, and by maneuvering around it, I just mean like, you know, like you find like transition words and things and like how to like your meter and things like that, to, you know, help to, just kind of curb some of the stuttering. My grandfather always said it was because I was too smart and I thought too fast. And I really like that. I know that's not true, but there's a big part of me that, that it is, I appreciate so much that he told me that when I was young, because it made me like, it gave me a bit of confidence that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
Sure. Well, it's like that idea that you have this secret superpower. You're like, oh man, if my mouth could really keep up with my brain, like people would be torched. Like they wouldn't even know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how I would spin it in my head. Like any time that I was like really just, I mean, you know, getting like worked up and like angry, like why can't I just talk, you know, right. Shit like that.
Yeah.
But,
for sure.
But then I would think, then what his words would pop into my head. It's like, oh, I can't talk because I'm a genius. Okay. That's okay.
Yeah. I'll go with that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally not true, but
sure. But still you've said this in multiple interviews, and I love the juxtaposition of these two records, of you being presented, you know, Earth Crisis and Lifetime's Hello Bastards, and then you gravitating more towards Lifetime. And I'm not saying that you didn't like Earth Crisis, but like I love the fact that you could be shown both of these paths, and you're attracted more towards one, but then at the same time you're like, Earth Crisis is still good. And so like you can just kind of like build both of those worlds up, you know, in tandem with each other. And I like both of those records because they could not be more different, but also of the same world.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like that's another thing that I think is so great. And then two, I think is like another like silver lining with like streaming and like that era. Like the era we're in now, you know, like, because yep. there's I like think at least what I've been seeing is that a lot of like the really hard lines are getting blurred, you know, this hard line of like, well, I only listen to punk rock music, or I only listen to bedroom R&B, you know, like, so it's like a lot of those lines. And then with a lot of the records and like newer artists and that are coming out, like they're putting these things out that are like, it could, like you could hear it, that they're taken from, like they listen to, I mean, you know, like they're listening to, or like, I'm just trying to like think of examples, like they're mixing like Sunny Day and fucking, I mean, you know, like Fast Break and like they're like all this stuff and all these different influences coming into, like, it's all becoming one world. And I think that's really cool, because I know for myself, I when I was younger, and this is so dumb, and I like get, like am often telling like that part of myself, like, man, why did you ever do that? But I was like, if it didn't fall within a certain category, I wouldn't even give it the time of day. Great example is I didn't discover, or like I didn't really sit down with like Led Zeppelin if I was like 24 or 25, which is ridiculous, because like all those years I missed out on like just some of the greatest rock and roll music that's ever been made. And for no reason other than, oh, well, it doesn't fit my MO, you know, like that. And it, I like feel like now, and it could be off. It's just from like what I see, whatever the algorithm showing me, you know, like it like seems that people are not taking that approach as regularly. And I think that's amazing, because then it's like pulling back the blinders, you know, now you see this great big world in your periphery. So, you know what? I forgot what your original question was. I'm sorry. No. I just started chatterboxing.
That's exactly. No, you're right. Because basically it's, you're hitting on the same principle where it's like, I mean, granted, you're talking about, you know, music from its entirety, but then what the idea of, you know, Earth Crisis and Lifetime, like you can like both bands. Yeah. But because they both exist in the, you know, hardcore and punk world, but like, yeah, your teenage brain is going to be like, dude, there's no way I'm going to, like, the Beatles suck, bro. Like, you know, they're,
yeah.
Yeah. You're just not going to think about music in that way because it's not, you know, at your particular juncture, culturally relevant until you get older and realize, like, oh, yes, I was stupid for not listening to that.
Yeah. Dude. Well, like, Prince was another big one. Prince has this record called Musicology, and there's a song on there called If I Was the Man in Your Life. Mm-hmm. And if you're to sit down with that song and then just change a few elements of the instrumentation, it's one of the hardest songs ever.
I love that.
It's like there's, like, I feel like it could hang with the Earth Crisis and like Hatebreed and stuff like that. Just the subject matters more like matters of the heart. And like Prince knows how to play the piano really well. So you just trade that out for another guitar. It's like, get out of here. This is hard as fuck.
Right.
So there's, and like, even like finding that common thread, but yeah, like the, it was, yeah, my buddy Matt had given me both those records, and, or like the CDs, you know, and I just remember like that I couldn't wait to get home to put them on, because right. At that time I had like a real small window to where I could like really sit with the record and all, or like with any kind of music really, for like, you know, folks would get home and not want to have to hear it. So there was, you know, I'd get home and throw it on, blast it. Oh my God.
Listen, it's December. That means you need to get gifts. Don't let this stress you out. Just go to rockabilia.com. That is your literal one-stop shop for everything on your list, from your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your next-door neighbor, whatever it is. It's all officially licensed band merch. We're talking sweaters. We're talking scarves. We're talking books. Like, they have so much that you could outfit your stuff or even your home for all that you could possibly imagine under one roof. But let me give you a promo code. 100 words or less gets you 10% off of your entire order. And that helps out a lot, because anytime you save, like, that's a good thing, because then you can, you know, maybe spend it on other cool gifts for other people. But rockabilia.com ships from the Midwest. It's all officially licensed. So that means the bands get paid. Everybody wins in this scenario. And I love supporting the company because they've supported the podcast for years, but I truly do think that they are an amazing company. And I think that you would have so much fun shopping on their website. So please go there, just knock out like 3 or 4 gifts on your list to be like, you know what? I'm going to get a Bob Marley shirt and I'm going to get an Iron Maiden graphic novel. How about that? Talk about diversity. Anyways, rockabilia.com, 100 words or less is the promo code for 10% off of your entire order. Thank you very much, Rockabilly, and happy holidays. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different things that stress us out, right? Like, maybe it's something really, really small, like, man, that parking space, it's always taken, and I wish that I would be able to, like, get it instead of, you know, this person that maybe, you know, is the most courteous and considerate. I know that's something very random, but it's true. We all experience different things throughout the day that trigger us in so many different ways. And there are many times where I have been like, I wish that I had a spot or a repository for me to, you know, get this stuff off of my chest. Because if you bottle it up, that is no bueno. And then all of a sudden you explode on a coworker or a friend or a family member being like, the parking spot. And people are like, what are you talking about? That is where therapy comes in. And I love working with BetterHelp because I'm a huge advocate for therapy, broadly speaking. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, please give BetterHelp a try. It is so easy because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you are not vibing with the therapist for any reason, you can switch it out at no additional charge. Get things off of your chest with BetterHelp. So visit betterhelp.com/ray today to get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/ray. Something that I also noticed in regards to, I mean, especially once, you know, Taking Back Sunday obviously signed to Victory and you guys started to tour and all that sort of stuff, it was this real and I mean this in the most affectionate way possible, where people were just like, oh, Taking Back Sunday is good. That dude, Adam, can't sing at all. But like, that's part of the charm. You know, it's like that you were doing what you knew how to do as like, obviously not a trained singer, as a person who is like, oh yeah, like I'm in the vicinity of the note or whatever. But like, you know, quote unquote music critics or whatever were just like, oh yeah, like this, you know, I don't know about this band. But then obviously, you know, the undeniable reference of being like, oh, this band is growing popular, and they're, you know, getting kids out to shows and stuff like that. Beyond just getting better at singing, because, you know, you obviously were given time to refine your skills and what have you, how did you, for lack of a better term, like, not lose that charm beyond the you know, origination of the band, and being like, oh yeah, like I didn't know what I was doing, but, you know, I don't really want to lose that sort of impulsive nature of me just being like, I'm gonna pick up a mic and sing, scream into it.
There's, well, the gotta be honest, hearing you say that does not feel good. But
no, and
you're not wrong.
Okay,
and because it's there's the first. Yeah. You know, because when I joined the band, I was a bass player, and then there came a time we needed a singer, and it was kind of Eddie in that moment that was like, you're going to be the singer now. And I think it's more because I would just kind of throw myself around on stage, and I was real like, because that was and still is, you know, like that's the outlet. Like that's where I like realized, especially like during the pandemic, like when we couldn't do it, like, yep. That's kind of when it dawned on me, like, oh shit. Like that right. was like, I rely on that really heavily, just for my mental health. And I didn't even realize that I was like, how heavily I was leaning on it all these years. So anyways, there was, Eddie was just kind of like, you're going to be the singer. And I was like, I don't know how to do that really. I mean, you'll right. figure it out. And then like, I got in the van, you know, he had this Ford Windstar. That's like what we first toured in. And I just was kind of driving around our neighborhood, playing the demo we had at the time, with our first singer, and then just singing along to that and being like, can I do this? I don't know. And that's kind of how the whole thing was. You know, I didn't, it like wasn't until kind of after touring off of Tell All Your Friends for a while that I was like, okay, vocal lessons. And then so I had the opportunity over the years to work with like a lot of really talented people. And I'm still learning, I'm still figuring it out, you know, but yeah, that especially the first record, like I think that's another thing too, is that folks are always like, especially recently, like they've been like, oh man, you're the Tell All Your Friends guy. Oh man. And then I'm like, ah, yeah. there's a bit more to it than that, but sure, man, sure. If that's what you need, then that's what I'll be. But there's this part of me that makes me so excited, because that means that whoever this person is, like there was a time, and then even still, like they made room for us somewhere inside of themselves, you know, and that speaks to me. That says that they heard a little bit of themselves in there, and that's the hope. Because selfishly, it's like that lets me know, like, oh, okay, I'm not alone. And then, but also, hopefully, that's doing that for the other person too, you know, that's like saying that thing. And then, because like I was saying earlier, it's more like, it's more people and relationships and mm-hmm. community, and then so, but when they're bringing that stuff up, or people are like, play Kid Without the E, like I'm like, oh fuck, because it's like I can't really listen, like I can't go back and listen to that stuff in a way to where I'm not thinking like, fuck, I should have done that differently, or damn it, why didn't I focus more on this, but like, so it's really, it's like kind of like this, like, gift and a curse almost in a way, like, or like, imagine like you're going through, like you're walking through a town and you're like, hey, here's a copy of my high school yearbook. I highlighted all the pictures that I'm in. You tell me what you think about them. And totally. But just for forever.
Like, totally. Yeah. You have the, you know, and it's very, and honestly, like, I think that is at the core of it, what you're talking about, where it's like, you as a band, you guys have continued to evolve and push, and obviously not just be, you know, comfortable releasing one type of record. And, but to your point, where it's like, you, once you put our art out in the world, you can't control how people are interacting with it. So it's like, they're going to have, people are going to have these real crystallized moments of like, this is what I know Taking Back Sunday to be, period, full stop. And like you said, just like that constant showing of the yearbook photo, that will be like what it is. But you yourselves as artists don't have to play into that. You continue to do what you're doing and being like, well, if you don't want to follow what we're doing the past like 5 to 10 years, like that's your choice and that's fine, but we are putting out good music still. You should check it out.
Yeah. There. Well, like my thing is like, yeah, we'll be like, we haven't gone anywhere and we're not going anywhere. So when you need us, we'll be here. And one of my favorite things about, you know, being in this band and then is that there's I think that we've had the opportunity to grow up with or just with a lot of people, you know, like I feel that there's like folks that we've kept in touch with over the years, you know, and like we're going through the same thing and the same points in our lives at the same time. We're growing together. And then so to kind of have this, like these like milestones, like the records, you know, like these markers going on down the road I'm just real grateful for all of it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And kind of on that same topic, like, you know, now because of the length of time that you've existed, you know, you can get classified as a quote unquote legacy band and then do.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, it's true. Like, I think that especially for this genre, it's like existing for more than one record is like a feat in and of itself, you know, mm-hmm. But because you guys have been able to do a lot of different things across a lot of different genres and tour with a lot of bands, like you guys are able to do those occasional, like, you know, whatever. I it's like you drive by a billboard and it's like, oh, Taking Back Sunday is playing, you know, Fremont Street in Vegas or whatever. Like, oh, that's, you know, I wouldn't think about them in that context, but oh, it does make sense. And so how do you approach shows that are not like what you would define as kind of a quote unquote typical show, or is it all just kind of part of the same stew for you?
For the most part, it's all the same. Mm-hmm. In the sense of like this idea in my head of like, okay, what, like you ask yourself, like, what do I need to do for me? What do I need to do for the band? And what do I need to do for the people that are taking the time out of whatever they had going on to be here? And so like, those are kind of always like, those are constants. But with shows that are a bit more out of the ordinary, especially like the flyaway shows, you know, stuff like that.
Yep.
There's to where, you know, that yes, there will be people there that are familiar with you, but there's probably going to be the same, if not more, people there that have either never heard of you before or have, just what you were saying earlier, like a very clear, what they think is a clear picture in their mind of what you do and what we're capable of. So so going into those, there's these moments, and like I say it to myself and I say it to the other guys, I'm like, look, play to each other, play for each other first. And then, because if we just do that, like everything else falls into place in my experience. And a lot of that involves just And like, kind of like what that means, or to explain it a little more, is that, that like to, if you can imagine, it's just the five of you or four of you or whoever, like in the room, and it, and no one else is watching, then that, like, you're immediately going to feel more comfortable and loose. Now, if you can take that a step further and remember, you're a little kid, you got a full length mirror, maybe in your parents' bathroom, I don't know, or like in your closet or something, and you're cranking up your boombox and dancing in front of that mirror, or pretending to play a broom or whatever it was, put yourself there. And then, cause I feel like the more that you could, the closer you can get to that place is, for me, a better, I feel like it's a better experience for me, but I also feel like it then becomes a better experience for the audience too, because you're able to, drop a lot of, just kind of social anxiety or inhibitions, whatever it is, and truly be in that moment and get lost. Like, that's where the magic is. Cause I feel that, and I'm sure you would agree with me on this, is that there's moments and there's times and shows that are, they're transcendent. Like it's there's like, that's what fellowship is. Like, that's what communion is to me. And I feel that, the best shows and like the best kind of environments are like that, are when you, like, you're in that place, but you can feel it happening in the crowd as well. So, cause at that moment, like any barricade or lines or anything like that gets very, very blurred, and it just becomes its one own, like, living thing, breathing thing. And it's those kind of moments where I always feel the most free and like the most alive, you know? And so all that to say, like, that's, if it's a show that's kind of off the beaten path, to where you know that a lot of, like, the majority of the audience has no idea, or like has some kind of preconceived notion or whatever it is, you know, like, then I think the thing is, that I approach it with is like, I try to look in and then out. And hopefully, you know, we do a good job of that, which I think we do. I know we can do a good job of it.
Sure.
Whether it happens every time, I mean, that is for somebody else to judge, not me.
Yeah, for sure. Evilgreed.net is the place where you need to buy your, not only merch, but music and so much cool stuff. They are a web store solution for bands and record labels. But the thing about them is they have a very highly curated vision of music and the type of stuff they carry. But first and foremost, you go to their website, evilgreed.net. You use this promo code 100 words. It gets you 10% off of your entire order. And they're based in Berlin, Germany, but they ship worldwide. And honestly, the shipping rates are very advantageous for us right now here in the States. So take advantage of it. Let's just go through some of their newest editions that they have. Like, if you want to pre-order the new Hope Conspiracy 12-inch, or if you want to look at maybe some rad Straight from the Path merch, or how about you want to order something from, I'm actually not even familiar about this band, Cloud Rat. How about that? That's a band. Or the new Chisel that's coming out on Pure Noise Records. They have a pre-order for it up now. They have everything that you could want from a sort of like heavy slash artistic slash cool vibe. That is what Evil Greed traffics in. They don't open their doors to everybody. They keep it very specific and very curated. And that's why I love them. So please go to evilgreed.net, use the promo code 100 words, 10% off your order, you know, buy some rad stuff for your friend that loves to go to shows with you. And you'd be like, here's an LP, or here's a rad shirt or a hoodie. You get it. So evilgreed.net, 100 words is the promo code, 10% off your order. Do it now.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You've been really public about your, trials and tribulations in regards to the, alcohol abuse and obviously the consumption of that. And, I think it's always very cool when people feel comfortable enough to share that publicly and not fall into the, web of cliches that can happen around it, where it's just like, oh my gosh, it was so cool. I can't believe I made it out alive. Like, yes, there is an element of that because it's the truth. For you personally, like, was it difficult for you to kind of, I guess, publicly articulate that? Or is that pretty instinctual? Like, whatever, within reason, whatever you're going through is going to, come out in some way, shape, or form?
It always comes out on the records and in the songs. So in that respect, I feel like it's easier to put that out into the world in that medium for me. There's talking about it, it's like still often difficult at times because there's this thing in my brain that I know is wrong. And then, but for a long time I listened to it, but it's this thing of like, oh, like you're admitting to like a weakness or like a flaw or like, so don't admit to it. And it's kind of, which I realize is like some kind of, it's like this antiquated, like man recipe, I think.
Sure.
And like, so there's, so then it just kind of becomes this thing of like wrestling with that and just realizing like, well, this is part of my story. Like, it's not like, it's just the earlier chapter. I mean, I'm further on in the book now,
Yep. Absolutely.
So yeah, it's just hard to get to that place sometimes. So that definitely took me a while. Cause like, even when I stopped drinking, like I didn't even tell anybody or talk about it it took, yeah, it's not something I do anymore, and here's why. And but it took a while for me to like really be able to talk openly about it. And then I also think there was this other fear in my head of like, and this kind of goes with anything, like you go and there's that thing that happens in your brain to where just talking about these big ideas you have could like just kind of spark some kind of dopamine release, so then it's almost like you get a little bit of the reward as if you had done it just by talking about it.
Right.
And then, so I was really worried about that too. And, so kind of like, I feel like I needed to get over that hump,
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Two last things I wanted to hit on was, one, I know for me, one of the first times that I saw you, with the exception of, randomly playing that show together, was when you guys came out west and played with Lawrence Arms. And I know that was a real, special tour for you guys. I mean, I know for me, I was excited because I could see both bands, and I know there was this real distinct dividing line that happened where it's like there was a lot of people that showed up at Chain Reaction just to see you guys, and then Lawrence Arms played in front of like 100 people, which is no one's fault. Like, that's just what happens sometimes. I know that you remember that happening because that tour was really special for you guys. But I guess in the reverse, has it happened to you before where you've been out in a headliner or playing whatever 3 out of 4, and all of a sudden a band that is has it happened to you?
Yeah First, like with the Lawrence Arms things, like that was that specific Chain Reaction show, because that was the first time anything like that had really happened. And I remember, like, even as I'm remembering it now, there's like, it's this crazy mix of emotions, because it's like you're so excited and like, oh my God, I can't believe all these people were here. That show is incredible. This is like, we're so far from home, like all that. And then on the other side of it, there's like, oh fuck, where did everybody go, man? Like, this is like, Lawrence Arms, and like we've been on tour long enough at that point with them to where like we're friends at this point, and so like there's these conflicting emotions around it. Yeah. But to answer your question, we were in the UK and we were doing a headlining tour with My Chemical Romance. And this was not too long after Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge came out. And like the tour started and it was great. And then, but like as it was going on, because we were doing like a full UK tour, like we just weren't hitting like a couple of cities. Like it was like we were going off the beaten path a bit. And then it's like at like a certain point, you could start to feel the shift, and then you started to see the shift in the crowd. And we're like, oh God, should they just headline? Like, could we do that? And then, because that's what made the most sense. But it was, yeah. So that was the time that happened. And then obviously, I mean, after that, like anytime we toured with them after, we were main support.
Right. Yeah, like, we don't need that to happen again, and that's totally fine. Yeah, it's just
it is
like a real, because you don't see it happen often, because usually, you know, bands, like you can kind of in some way, shape or form predict some sort of trajectory, but then there's some times where it's like you just see it happen. And like, yeah, I mean, just as it was special for you to play that Chain Reaction show, it was also, it felt really cathartic from a just a, you know, kid going to a show perspective, because it was like, oh wow, like everybody showed up for them. Like, this is really cool. And it feels like you're part of a moment where you feel like the momentum is meeting the moment, so to speak.
Yeah. There's it's like wild too, because it's more than just like a thing you're just processing in your brain, you know, like it's like you can feel it. Like I could physically feel it. Like there's, the room feels a very specific way right before they played, or like even like going back to that Chain Reaction show, it felt a very, and it felt very different, or like what the UK said, it felt very different like 5 minutes before we were going on, or and then same thing with the Chain Reaction thing. So yeah. It's just, but I also think that's like a really good example of like, hey man, be cool always.
Yep. Like
there's don't be a dick, because like there, sure, like there might be times to where like you're upset because you feel like you're clawing your way up a mountain, you know, and then there might be times to where you're like, you feel like, oh, I just clawed my way and now I'm at the top of this mountain and fuck everybody else, you know. And it, but it's only a matter of time, so you're going to be clawing back up that mountain again. So just keep that in mind.
Totally. Yeah. You could have easily just bought into like, oh, we're obviously the coolest band on the planet now. And you know, to some respects, like you need to buy into that in order to like go the next step, but not to the point where you're just looking at this as like a zero sum game where it's like, oh, we win, so this band loses. It's like, no, we can all participate. No. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, dude. Know who has the best outlook on that? Also comes from a similar world, but on your side of the country, is Andrew McMahon. He's like, over the years, like I've like run into, or like we've run into each other countless times. And there's, but always not only so consistent, but also like he's a great example of someone who I believe always has thought that way. And like, no matter what, like just so consistent.
Yeah, no, it's really cool.
So, and I admire that.
Yeah, no, I do as well. The last thing I want to hit on was the idea of like, you've had to navigate, you know, the music industry, the music business. And I know you've obviously, you know, worked with a great manager in the form of Jillian for many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, how have you personally sort of either engaged or tried to stay, you know, farther away from like the music business aspect of it? Like, you know, do you enjoy that sort of, you know, like, all right, we got to, you know, here's the profit and loss for the tour and here's this thing? Or do you try to stay not removed, but just being like, okay, I'm not that good at that stuff, so I'm going to stay a little farther away from it?
I think I stay somewhere like right in the middle with it.
Okay.
Cause there's a certain point to where, it's hard if I get, if I get focused on something, I get hyper focused on it. And like, I'm talking like semantics and minutiae and things like that. So there's like a certain distance I feel that for my own sanity that I need to maintain. But also at the same time, I'm an adult with the family. So there's like another part. So it's kind of like finding that balance, of, you know, like not trying to micromanage everything, because a lot of the things that fall under everything, like I'm just, like I'm not as qualified, like as someone like Jillian to be answering those questions, you know, or to be just making those decisions on my own. I think that the team that we've had around us has, is like the, is, has been so incredibly important. Like we've, like Jillian has been our manager since the beginning. We met her, Tell All Your Friends had been out for a little bit, and we met her through Midtown, because she was managing Midtown at the time, mm-hmm. and in Austin, Texas. And Matt Galley has been booking us since the very beginning, and like our business management, we've been with them since the beginning. So it's like, I like think that making sure that, for us, like a big thing has been like making sure that we have the right people around us and like people we can trust, you know, and rely on, to help in those moments. Cause also like if I was, like outstanding at numbers, then I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now, you know, like, so totally. there's, it's like, so, but I think you could apply that to like anything in your life, you know, is that like, okay, I don't like, I have a general understanding of this, but I need somebody that has like a thorough understanding. So like, where's that person? And let's see if there's like someone that's like us, you know, that can, but that has that particular set of skills. Like Liam Neeson, a certain, I have a very specific set of skills, you know.
Of course, you always need a person to be able to break someone's neck on your team at any given time.
Yeah, dude, yo, on speed dial, right? It's not cheap.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, because of course, you know, you could be in a foreign country and, oh wait, no, we are just rehashing the plot of Taken. That's fine. But Adam, thank you so much for hanging out. I genuinely appreciate you letting me pepper you with these random questions.
Yeah, man. Thank you for taking the time.
There you go. That was Adam from Taking Back Sunday. And like I said, they just released a new record called 152. Check it out. It's really cool. And they actually, I was not even aware of this. They did a collab with Steve Aoki, which is like just so awesome to see, like two old heads in regards to like punk and hardcore coming together many, many, many years later and being like, oh yeah, like we come from the same scene. Like, how about we just do a song together? It's just really cool. So support Taking Back Sunday. I love Adam. Just, yeah, really, really fun time I had on that. Let's map out the next 2 weeks on the podcast. Next week, I have Matt LaForge, the guitarist from one of my favorite bands around right now, Milspec. I freaking love Milspec so much. They just released a new record called Marathon, and I had to have Matt on. And it's funny because I'd like go through a few different, you know, intermediaries, so to speak, because Milspec, like, they're not really active on social media. They're not like, you know, hey, follow us, do this. They're just like, hey, we're a band, we exist, and, you know, we put out a record occasionally, and it's awesome. So anyways, come to find out that we spoke many years ago in my day job life.
And it was just really funny to be like, oh, we talked. That's right. I remember that conversation. Anyways, Matt from MilSpec is on next week on the 13th. And then on December 20th is the much anticipated, because I start to hear from many of you over email in early December, hey, when's the year-end podcast? The year-end podcast will be released December 20th with myself, Joey Cahill, and Jeremy Bohm, again, going through our favorite records of 2023. So that's what we got for the next 2 weeks. And until then, please be safe, everybody.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Trust me in saying that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all of the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
It's the Breakfast Club, the world's most dangerous morning show.
Hey!
Angela Yee is kind of like the big sister that always pokes you in the forehead.
That's not how it goes?
That's not how anything goes.
Yemi's really like a robot. One of the best DJs ever.
Believe that.
Charlamagne is the wild card.
And I'm about to give somebody the credit they deserve for being stupid.
I know, that's right.
What is wrong with you?
Listen to the Breakfast Club weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 106.7 The Beat. Columbus's real hip-hop and R&B.